I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to John 3:16. We're going to start there, John 3:16. We'll go to another passage of Scripture in a moment, John 3:16. Once you find it, stand with me, if you will. John chapter 3, verse number 16. And I want us to read this out loud together. We're going to read just this one verse, John chapter 3, verse 16, and everyone read out loud with me. Here we go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now turn back to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read this to you. You can follow along. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse number 11, it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. This morning, I think I just want to talk to you. I want to be a little personal to you. It indeed is a sermon, but I think I want you to understand something about me as your pastor today, if I could please. Let me pray. Holy Spirit of God, hide me behind the cross. Help us, Father, today that the sermon would accomplish the purpose for which you've directed it, for the purpose for which you have guided me to say these words today. God, help our folks to understand my heart, and I hope, Lord, I believe this is your heart as well. Bless our service in a special way. Minimize the interruptions. Give me the attention of the people, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will, there. I'm often asked by people about my motivation. I, for many, many years, have, by the grace of God, found a certain motivation, and it's kind of catapulted me or propelled me or moved me forward to certain successes in the ministry. You say, what is it that motivates you? Is it wealth? No, it's not wealth. I really don't have any interest in wealth. You say, is it power? No, that doesn't really interest me. The truth of the matter is, I don't like to lead. I've been called upon to lead, and I will lead. But my wife would tell you, if I don't have to, I don't want to. I don't want to have to lead. Now I'm called upon to do it, and I'll do it if that's what God needs. But do I want to be in control? Do I want to have to lead? No, I don't. You say, is it fame? No, I know what happens to famous people. You're famous for a little while and then you're phased out. Look what happened to Donald Duck. I mean, he's a goner. And then there are new cartoon characters today. The first time, I have to tell you this, the first time I walked into a Fundamental Baptist church, the preacher got up, and I'll tell you what, I felt like he preached against everything under the sun. I walked in, and I kind of did not know what to expect, and this guy tore into things, and it seemed as if everything he was against was everything that I did. And I thought, this fella is in cahoots with my mom. I was 16, and I thought, I guess my mom and this fella have had a talk. And my mom probably prepared that sermon and told him, if Jeff walks in, give it to him. And I'm thinking, wow. And I mean, he was snorting and snotting and stomping his foot, and he was hitting that pulpit and raising his voice. And I thought, good gravy. He needs some drugs to calm him down or something. He needs to see a psychiatrist. And there was fire in his eyes. I mean, this guy was getting with it. And so I'm sitting there and I'm going, wow. Whew. So when it was time to walk out, there was only one exit door, and he was by that exit door. And I thought, I'm going to scurry around this dude. You know, he's got my number. I started to go past him, and he stuck out his hand, and I was trying to figure out whether I should shake it or bite it. I wasn't sure what to do, but I shook his hand, and then with all the sincerity in the world, he looked at me, and he said, Jeff, I'm glad you came today. He said, I want you to know that I love you. And I went to the parking lot, and I thought, this guy's got a split personality. I mean, when he was in that pulpit, you would have thought that he was a junkyard dog. And then I got by the back door and I looked into his eyes. And here's the thing. When he said he loved me, I believed him. There was just something about it. At first, it was hard for me to focus on it because I thought, well, first of all, you threw a fit. And I felt like I was singled out. Now, he didn't know anything about me. So if I was singled out during that sermon, he didn't know I was coming, and he didn't know everything that I was up to. If I was singled out, it wasn't the preacher. It must have been somebody else, maybe God. But I felt, wow, I just felt like I got torn to shreds during that sermon. And then when he said he loved me, it caught me off guard. But I believed him. If you were listening when we read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it talks here about the love of Christ. And it says in verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. When I went back to that church again, so what drew you? What constrained you? What became the thing that took you back? Well, first of all, I got to thinking about what the guy said, and I said, well, you know what, there's a lot of truth to what he said, but I had to attach it to the fact that he told me that he loved me, and that was odd to me, and I went back, and I'm glad that I did. I called my sermon this morning. You know, earlier, I said, you know, people ask me, what motivates you? I'm going to tell you what motivates me in regard to our church here, the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. You say, preacher, what motivates you? Why do you do what you do, say what you say? What's going on here? I would like to humbly say, it's because I love you. I was called to preach when I was a 16-year-old boy. And I know it sounds weird to you, but I used to say, God, someday, if you just give me a group of people, I'll do my best to get them on fire. And I'll love them. And guess what? That's you. When I was 16, I prayed that. And I know boys that want to be firemen and police officers and so many things. I was an oddball. I wanted to do what I'm doing. And I have been doing it since I was 16. I think one of the greatest things about the transition of our church, in September, I will have been your pastor here. We would have started 2 years ago. And God moved my body. God moved our great big orange moving truck. I hate that thing. I'm so glad that thing's gone. God moved my body. God moved my ministry, if you will. But here's the greatest thing that God did for me. He moved my heart. I had to have a transfer of heart. And I want you to know, you have my heart. I want to help you. I want to serve you. I want our church to be exactly what God wants it to be. I don't know what you think of the sermons that are preached here. And in most cases, I don't want to know what you think of the sermons that are preached here. But I'm going to tell you something. If you looked at the websites that have posted our sermons that are being preached right here at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, from last September to this September, we're talking about 12 months, there have been over 50,000 downloads from across the world of people listening in on what God's doing in this auditorium. I would say that's interest. I call my sermon, Because I Love You. Love is the theme of the Christian life. Love is the theme of the Bible. Love's the theme, I believe, of the ministry in general. When I was a younger preacher, I didn't mind preaching on hell. Now, I would prefer to preach on heaven over hell any day of the week. Now, I'm not afraid to preach on hell, and I'm not afraid to stir it up and growl a little bit and stomp my foot, but I can tell you, I love to talk about love. I love to sing the songs about love. When we sing Love Lifted Me, I enjoy that song. I don't think when we sing the song Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, I don't think that's just a little kid's song. I think it's for all of us. I think the children need to hear us sing that Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. When we sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus, those songs still mean an awful lot to me. I fail at it, but I try to do what I do in the love of God. There's something that I had to learn to do. I tried real, real hard to love people with my love. There came a day when I realized that my love was inadequate. And it was a revolutionary day for me when I went to God and I said, God, I've tried to love the way I'm supposed to, but I'm not getting it. Is there any way that maybe you could love through me and I use your love to love, because my love is anemic. My love is human and tainted and weak. But oh God, if you could love people through me and I just become like a conduit, I just become the electric cord and your love flows through me to the people, that day revolutionized my life. It just revolutionized my life. On purpose, I try to work at, I want to do what I do in the love of God. Now, I work at loving my wife. I tell my wife I love her. I try to provide for her. I try to protect her. There are certain things that I have tried to teach her that we share, but I try to express my love to my wife. I try to express my love to my children. I tell my children that I love them. By the way I trained them, I was telling them that I love them. I kept them in a red-hot, fundamental, independent, Baptist, old-fashioned, soul-winning church all their life. I put them in Christian schools that agreed with my standards and my convictions, and I've stuck with them through thick and thin, but I wanted my children to know that I love them. And for some of you, this might be a little harder for you to understand. I love my enemies. This morning, I prayed and said, God, help my enemy's day to be a good day. Help their dislike for me not to ruin their day. We're supposed to love people. I try to love the lost. As you know, we're always talking about soul winning. I like going out and telling people about Jesus and getting them born again. I think we ought to work at loving the poor. I think we ought to work at loving the fallen. I don't think that a service passes that you don't hear me pray, Oh God, help the people to know that you love them and help them to know that I love them. I preach what I preach. It might be hard for you to understand. I preach what I preach because I love you. When my preaching is strong, it's because I love you. I don't preach what I preach to hurt you. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. I preach what I preach because I love you. I don't preach what I preach to belittle you. I preach what I preach because I love you. I don't preach what I preach to look down on you. I preach what I preach because I love you. I don't preach what I preach because it's all about your weaknesses. No, I preach what I preach because I love you. Hey, I don't preach what I preach because I'm right. I preach what I preach because I love you. I don't preach what I preach because you're wrong. No, I preach what I preach because I love you. I don't preach what I preach because I'm mad at you. No, I preach what I preach because I love you. I don't preach what I preach because I want to get you. I preach what I preach because I love you. I don't preach what I preach because God wants to get you. No. What God does, He does because He loves you. I don't I don't do what I do or preach what I preach because I'm trying to use you to build the church. No, I want the church to build you. I don't believe in using my church I don't believe in using the people in the church to build the church. I believe in using the church to build the people. I preach what I preach because I love you. You know, if you love someone, you tell them the truth. I've asked God to help you to understand your pastor a little. Someone said, "What's your greatest motivator?" There's no doubt in my mind, at 55 years of age, I've preached 37,000 sermons. I've preached all around the world. I'd say, "What's your motivation?" That's easy. I love people. I have no apologies for it. I love them if they love me. I love them if they hate me. I love them if they agree with me. I love them if they do not. That's my sermon. You say, "Is it over?" No, I love you too much to make it that short. Hear me out as I give you a very simple sermon, because I love you. I tell you to be faithful to all the church services because I love you. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but the exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Did you know that being faithful to all the church services is best for you? Do you think that I like any contention between you and that about that? No. No. But it's best. So that's why I say it. I don't preach to get something out of you, but I preach to put something in you. You know, you'll face God someday concerning your church attendance. Did you know you'll enjoy life more if you're faithful? You'll be a better Christian if you're faithful to church. So I tell you to be faithful to all the church services because I love you. Did you know that if our church attendance grows, I don't get a raise because of it? No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me if we have a big attendance or a little attendance. What really matters to me is, are you doing what you're supposed to do to be successful? What's that take? Being faithful. And being faithful isn't new to any of you. There's some of you, you believe very dogmatically in being faithful to the things that are most important to you. You know, if some of you were as unfaithful about making your car payment as you are to the house of God, you'd lose your car. Or your house. I tell you to be faithful to all three church services. Why? Because I love you. Hey, I tell you to tell others about Jesus and become a soul winner. You say, why? Because I love you. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." You know, God expects you to tell others about Jesus. It's what he expects. Your life will count more if you'll tell others about Christ. Keeping people out of hell, believe me, it's a very rewarding thing to do. Helping people gives you a cause in life. Not everybody here will be able to do everything in the church. But everybody here can win others to Jesus Christ. Everybody can. I tell you to become a soul winner. I tell you to witness. I tell you to tell others about Jesus Christ. Why? Because I love you. That's best for you. Helping people get saved will give you a better future in heaven. I hope you haven't forgotten. When you get to heaven, there'll be crowns given out. One of the crowns is for you being a soul winner. It is stinginess that keeps us away from soul winning. You know, the reward in heaven is, I want you to have that. I want you to get to heaven and say, "You know what, you see that little boy right over there? I remember the day that I showed him out of the Bible how to be born again, and I remember the day he got saved." And I'm going to tell you, that little boy is going to come over to you and say, "Thank you so much." I had a telephone call about 9 days ago. It was from a man in West Virginia. I remember the day that I won him to Jesus Christ. He was an adult man. And he called me and he said, "Brother Owens, I wanted to call and tell you," he said, "today is the anniversary date of the day that you opened up your Bible and showed me how to be born again. He'd never been saved. And he went from that point to becoming the head deacon of the biggest church in the East Coast. He said, I've not forgotten that day. Now listen, folks. I want you to be a soul winner. So what are you trying to get out of me? I'm not trying to get anything out of you. It's best for you. So I teach you that because I love you. I think that's what God wants for you. Number three, I tell you to read your Bible daily because I love you. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise is simple. What's it talking about? It's talking about the Word of God. Your Bible reading will give you wisdom to have a happier life. You get backslidden, you know what I'll say to you? Read your Bible. You get away from God, I'll say, read your Bible. And I've never had anybody come back to me and say, you know what, I'm doing it, preacher. I was backslidden. I was away from God. I'm reading my Bible. And things are going worse. No, never. I've never had anybody say that. You know what they say? You know what? It's going better. Things are improving. Now, if I loved you, I've got to tell you the truth about reading the Bible. Your Bible will help you to avoid the heartaches of life. Your Bible will keep you in God's will. Your Bible will help you to stay close to God. Oh, what's going on here? You trying to brainwash me? Well, just so you know, I would like your brain to get cleaned up. You put the Bible in and the Bible will clean up your thinking. But I tell you to read your Bible, and I preach it, and I snort, and I stomp my foot. You say, why? Because I love you. It's best for you. Number four, I tell you to pray. Say, why? Because I love you, and so you all know, it is the love of Christ that constraineth us. All of these things are what God wants for you. It's because He loves you. Psalm 32:6 says, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. I tell you to pray, you say, why? Because I love you. Praying is best for you. Praying is a way that you can get your needs met in life. You say, I have needs. Now, let me tell you all something. We so often pray as a last resort. Why don't you pray as a first resort? You want your needs met? Go to God. You can help others by praying, and helping others will help you. Stinginess has never been fulfilling for the Christian, not really. God expects you to talk to Him. God wants you to talk to Him. Prayer is a wonderful thing. And God answers prayer. I have watched. You take our desire for our building. Now, your prayers, I think God's been answering them. But I just need to testify. I've prayed about this building thing. And I have just watched God step in. And I'm thinking, well, God, thank you. That's exactly what we asked for. We started raising money. I just watched. Bang. Our bank. They were shocked. He said, well, why don't you go try to raise a little money? When we came back and told him we raised, $100,000 in 4 weeks, he said, you're to be commended, and put the pressure on them. I think they thought it wouldn't happen. And then we made the outrageous offer on the new building. And they took it. And the bank's going, huh? Let me tell you something. You learning to get a hold of God, it's the best thing you could ever do. Being able to pray and say, God, I need this. And God say, got you covered, son. If I could teach you to get things from God, it just takes care of everything. Why do you yell and scream about us praying? I love you and I want you to succeed. It's the best thing I could do for you. May I say, I tell you to tithe. You say, why? It's best for you. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Look, I warn everybody about the danger of stealing. Don't steal from God. So you're just trying to get my money. Can I tell you something? The church will go forward with or without your money. You're very vain to think that we need yours. You need yours to be given. Every church you've ever gotten mad about and left because somebody mentioned money, they probably went on. And if they didn't, that was their fault, not God's fault. And I'll just promise you, I've had people say, "Well, you just tried to get our money." You better get that thing right with God. You say, "Why, that's best for you." I promise you, tithing will bring God's protection to your finances. Tithing will bring God's blessing to your finances. And you need to set an example for your children in regard to tithing. You know, I have discovered, I used to ask myself, now how is it if I take a tenth of my income and my increase and I give it to God, how is it that things are going to turn out better? You know, when I first went to church and the pastor said, "Look, if you'll give one-tenth, you're going to have more money." I said, "Well, wait a minute. I have $10, I give you one and I'll have more." He said, in essence, yes, God will make it go further. I had to do that by faith. I didn't logic it out. Because every time I'd logic it out, I'd say, no way, buddy. No way. My mama didn't raise any idiots. Well, my little brother. But do you know what? I did it by faith. And I'll tell you something. I wouldn't stop it for anything. By God's grace, I wouldn't. You say, why? Because it's proven out for me. It's for your own good. And for some of you, I only but wish for you that you would have known to do it when you were 2 years old and 3 years old. You say, "Yeah, me too. I wish I would have started way back then, and I've watched how God's provided for me all these years." Hey, make sure you start now so that you set that example for your children. Really, in tithing, you might think we're trying to get something out of you, but the truth is we're trying to put something into you. May I say number six? I tell you to separate from the world. You say, why? Because I love you. I just want to help you. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." I know you don't realize it, but the world hates you. The worldliness will destroy you. The devil hates you. He's your enemy. You know, bad friends will hurt you. And I'm not telling you to be mean to your bad friends. But some of you, you'll have to start running with the right crowd if you're going to serve God right. Any Christian ever that has done right in life had to learn to separate from friends that held them back and convinced them to do wrong. Bad friends will hurt you. The Hollywood crowd will hurt you. When I stand up and I preach, separate, get yourself separated. And I tell you, that rock and roll music is going to rot your brain out. And I preach about Hollywood. And if I preach against the alcohol or the drugs or the adultery or the fornication, or I say dress right and do right, you say, "What are you trying to do to me?" I'm sorry, I don't know where you got the "what do to you." I wouldn't try to do anything to you. I love you. I just know God said separate. You must live in the world, but you're not supposed to be like the world. You say, "Well, I'll be to my friends, I'll be weird." No, the word's not. The biblical word is peculiar. You'll be different. When I tell you to pull away from the world, I'm not trying to do something to you. Hey, and just so you know, it's not personal. I was told when I got saved, I needed to pull away from the world and worldly things. It's not personal. I didn't set the standard. God did. But we talk about separation from the world. Why? Because God loves us. And you're not going to find fulfillment in this world, living like this world. The best and the closest you're going to get is while you're living in this world, you're living like you will in the next. Number 7, I preach against sin. You say, why? Because I love you. Satan's your enemy. He hates you. Sin will destroy you. The devil wants to steal your joy. The devil wants to ruin your marriage. The devil wants to ruin your future. He wants to steal your health. Do you know something? I'm going to preach against sin because I love your children. I want your children to hear that there is right and wrong in this life. That there's virtually a challenge on right and wrong. We're diluting everything. We're trying to make it so everything's okay. Bless God and bless the devil. Well, I'm sorry. That's not the way it is. There is a right and there is a wrong in life. And we're not the ones that determined that, but God did. And you'll have to excuse me. If you're not careful, you'll get so caught up in what the media says to you that they're going to say, well, you've got to be politically correct. That's not true. I have to be biblically correct. And if being biblically correct makes me politically incorrect, I plan to stand with the Bible. You say, why? Well, I love you. I've got to tell you the truth. I've got to tell you the truth. We preach against sin. Why? Because I love you, and if I don't warn you against sin, then I'm not loving you right. I will protect our church. This is an old-time religion church. I will protect it. There are certain things that I'll say no to. You say, you going to bring that before the board? No. No, the board's not going to tell me how to protect this church. God will tell me that. And you say, board? Who's the board? Well, about half the people in here right now are bored stiff. But I preach against sin. You say, why? Well, because I love you. That's why. Now, do you understand? Hey, those of you that are parents, when you are trying to help your children stay away from those things that could hurt them, why are you doing that? You say, well, I love them. Those are my kids. Now, are you doing it because you don't want your kids to have fun? Do you, when your child wants to go out and ride their bicycle on Highway 70, and they're riding right down the middle of it, and you say, get off the highway! Now, is that because you don't want them to have fun? Not at all. It's because you love them. Now, if they were riding out there, would you ever raise your voice while you're trying to get them off the highway? Yeah, you might. You might. Now, I wonder if they said, well, I just don't understand. You know what? You'd say, it doesn't matter if you understand. You can't play on the highway. Well, my friends are doing it. And what's the answer then from mom and dad? I don't care what your friends are doing. But it's fun out here. But what would you say? This is the wrong kind of fun. Well, I'm my own man. Well, you are not your own man. You belong in our family, so behave yourself and get off the road. Now, if they got hit, you'd run over and you'd love them. And you'd help them. And you'd try to get them healed. But you surely don't want them to get hit by that car. Do you know what a pastor does? You're on the wrong road. Yeah, but my friends, I don't care what your friends are doing. But it's kind of fun. Hey, yeah, but this fun is wrong fun. So well, the other churches are doing it. I don't care what everybody else is doing. But what are you trying to do? Take all the fun out of my life? No, I'm trying to get you on the right road so you have ultimate success, so you really do live your life right. And there are too many of you say, I just want a good life. Your problem is you want a good life when you were supposed to have a holy life. I just want a good life. Well, God wants for you a holy life. And so, I just felt like you ought to know. If I preach certain things, you say, what's your agenda? I just love you and I want to help you. I just want to tell you the difference between right and wrong and warn you. By the way, if I'm ever up here and I'm getting huffy and I'm stomping my foot and I'm yelling and I'm screaming and you're saying there ain't nothing stopping him now, he's just going to blow off all that smoke. So you know, in my heart, all I want to do is get your attention. I just want you to succeed in life. And that's what I've been called to do. But I'll tell you this. If God had not made the mandate, had he not called me to do it, I think I love you enough that I do it anyway. So you say, why do you do it? Well, God tells me to. But wait a minute. Even if God didn't tell me to, I think I'd do it. Because if you love someone, nobody else has to tell you to love them. I have to tell you this, and I'm almost finished. The folks who don't stand for those things, listen to this. Somebody that won't harp about you about being faithful to church, won't harp about you and witnessing and soul winning, and won't harp about reading your Bible, and won't harp about praying. The ones that won't tell you to tithe, and the ones that won't tell you to separate from the world, and the ones that won't preach against sin. I've got a hunch. They probably don't love you, right? You know what I've decided? But it hurts when I'm told about those things. I realize that. I've got to be careful that I don't not tell you what hurts, because I do love you. You know, some allow their love to keep them from disciplining. But the truth is, you're thinking about it all backwards. A parent says, well, I'm not going to discipline my children because I love them. Oh, if you love them, you better discipline them. Parents, you know, I just give my children their way because I love them so much. You'll ruin your child. You will ruin your child. Do you know that if there's some time in the church where there's something that somebody wanted to do and the pastor does not give them their way, they might say, well, I thought you loved me. Sometimes I love you enough to tell you the truth even if it hurts. You say, I don't want to cause my child pain. Better off sometimes that you're the one that brings the pain than that the devil brings the pain. And it's just merely an expression of love. Do you know that when God chastens you and I, he does not do that in hatred? He does it in love. But does he chasten? God doesn't say, well, I just love you all so much. Live any way you want. Do whatever you want. Go wherever you want. Be as unfaithful as you want. Just be free. Be free, my children. Now, is that Bible? God said, I love you. Now, do that. Do you believe him? Well, all I am is a representative of that very concept. See, the love of Christ constraineth us. So if you look at your preacher and you say, sometimes you get loud and you get very, very straightforward, and some of you, you've not even heard straightforward from me yet. But you say things that other preachers stopped saying a long time ago. Don't confess some other preacher's sins to me. I'm not a priest. Listen. My job, and if it were not my job, is to love you. So what? Why do I say what I say? Why do I preach what I preach? I love you. And I want to help you. And remember, If I say to you, whatever you do, don't play on that highway with your bike, I'll promise you this, and you might not know me well. But the day that you get hit on the highway, I'll try to be there before the ambulance. And we'll rebuild you. And we'll help you. And we'll love you. And you don't have to worry. It won't be saying, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. Oh, no. No. It'll be, I'll help you. The devil's smart. He's capable. Say, well, where are we going? Well, what's the future of our church? I hope the future of our church is this. I hope that a loving God helps a preacher to love right and a congregation to love right and for us to influence our county and our community for God. Loving people right all the while standing for right. Some will misunderstand it. Some will say, well, while you're standing for that right, it seems harsh. I am so sorry. It doesn't seem as harsh to the ones that are not doing it. But the intent was not to be harsh. The intent was to get the point across because of love. That lets you into my heart just a little. It won't be long. We'll celebrate 2 years together. God moved my body. God moved my ministry, my possessions. But the greatest thing God did is God moved my heart. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The question that I want to ask you this morning is, first of all, are you saved? Are you born again? If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you say, Brother Owens, I don't know for a fact I'm saved. I don't know for a fact I'm going to heaven. Then I want to recommend to you salvation. You say, why would you recommend that? Because I love you. I'm your friend. I don't want you to die and go to hell. I want you to get born again. Is there somebody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not born again. I'm not saved. Pray for me. And you'll raise your hand so I can see it. Who here then would say, Preacher, I am saved. If I died today, I would go to heaven. I'm not afraid to testify to it. Then with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're on your way to heaven and you're saved, would you raise your hand? Let God see it. God bless you. You may put your hand down. Christian, do what you do because you love. Some of you, you have very strong convictions, and I want you to, and very strong standards, and I want you to, but you got to intermingle that with love. So some of you need to learn that lesson. For some, you've watched me, you've investigated me, I've tried to be honest. I kind of cut my chest open and pulled out my heart today. I just want you to see it. I'm going to stand for what's right. But I love you. And I want to do it the right way. Who here today, for whatever reason, would say, Pastor, today God has really touched my heart. God has really spoken to my heart today. Would you raise your hand to the sky so that God might see it in a maybe in a special way? He's spoken to you. God bless you. We're going to have an altar call. If you need time at this altar, you come. If you need to be saved, you come. Hey, if you're away from God, you come. You say, I've been playing on the highway. Preacher, I need to get off that highway. I need to get back on track. Some of you, you heard some things. I talked about living right. I talked about reading your Bible and praying. You might need the altar because there's some things in your life that are not supposed to be there. If you need this altar, you're welcome to come. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Will you come? Are you away from God in your Bible reading? Are you away from God in your prayer? Are you away from God in your soul winning? Are you away from God in your giving or your tithing? Do you need to separate from the world? What is it? You say, I've got things in my life that should not be there. There's some separation issues that need to be straightened out. Some of you are backslidden in regard to your separation from the world. You've justified it. You're casual with it. You're okay with it now, but you're not right with God. And you know it. And you remember this. There are some out there, there are some preachers out there, they're lovey-dovey 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and they never tell their people the truth, and they never warn their people about sin. They never stand up and really hit it hard enough to get the attention of the people. And they say, oh, I just love them so much. I don't want to say those things because they would be taken personally. Well, you know what? My love is personal, so my warning to you is going to seem personal, though I do not launch an attack on any individual from my pulpit. You'll never find that taking place in the 37,000 sermons that I have preached. You can check them all. You will not find me attacking any individual in one single sermon. But you ought to take it personal because it comes by way of the Holy Spirit. That love is personal, and some of the conviction ought to be personal. And for those that do not correct, and those that will not stand for what's right, and those that will not tell the difference between right and wrong, and preach against the wrong entertainments and the wrong behavior, and then they want to turn around and say, well, that's because I love. Fooey on that. You don't love someone and let them self-destruct in your presence without trying to help them. This is the last time through the song.